But everybody is focused on what is going on 800 miles away in the closed capital of the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. On our live line is Congressman Andre Carson. Congressman, I understand there was only one entrance to the office buildings open today, and the line was like gazillion miles long trying to get in. Congressman, you there?
Dr. Brown, it's still very hectic out here. It took staffers quite a while to get into the building, and people are still trying to get in. And in fact, our own state representatives, Cherish Pryor and Robin Shackelford, who are here, who we got to see earlier, are trying to get in and meet with some members of the delegation. So it's a tough time, Amos, but our staff is still here. They've taken the time to come in unpaid, and some Capitol Police officers showed up. Members of Congress, Dr. Brown, were given the option of assigning certain staffers to be essential and non-essential.
Mm-hmm.
Many members of Congress sent letters to certain staffers deeming them non-essential. For the most part, we didn't do that. I refuse to do that. And even though they're not getting paid, hopefully we can come to some kind of resolution to give these folks back pay.
One of the things, and I don't know whether you heard about this, there was a group of World War II veterans that came into Washington this morning from Mississippi. They were on one of those honor flights, and I know, Congressman, you're familiar with the concept of the honor flights that would bring our veterans into the nation capital. And when they showed up at the World War II Memorial, they saw the barricades, they got out their bus, they got on their wheelchairs, they got on their walkers and their crutches, they moved the barricades away, and they took possession of the monument. Not in a negative way, but they say, we coming all this far, to heck with that. And the park police, let them, do their thing in a positive manner. And that just kind of exemplifies the frustration. Everybody wants to make those World War II heroes again.
Absolutely. It's the kind of patriotism, and it's the kind of pride that folks have in their country. It's the kind of pride that many folks have in our government that can't be usurped. It can't be displaced by legislation. It's something that just resonates, and it's a part of who you are. And I think we should always honor our vets, which is why this shutdown is so sad, Dr. Brown, because we're talking about over 800,000 government workers who have effectively been furloughed, including the over 10,000 who are in Indiana. And vets, those same vets who came out to the monument, vets whose pensions, rehab, and VA programs will be effectively suspended. SBA loans, FHA loans are on hold right now. If you were planning on closing that home this week, that's going to be on hold because of the shutdown. HUD is closed right now, and our friend Brother Bud Myers is going to be impacted by that. We're talking about students whose school district, colleges, and vocational schools will take tremendous hits in assistance, and this is really unacceptable. And you know, I'm really appealing to my Republican friends. There are some good moderate Republicans who want to do the right thing, but they're being held hostage. I mean, to even shut down the government in the midst of our debt ceiling conversation that we're going to have to resolve the next week and a half, this is really unacceptable. And the American people on both sides of the political aisle see through this pageantry, they see through the theater, and they want it to stop. It has to stop. It's costing our country now over $80 million due to the shutdown, and this is not the way to govern, all because of a vendetta against President Obama. But my hope is that this will translate into action and a movement to unseat those Tea Partiers who are holding our country hostage, Amos.
Congressman, we're with Congressman Andre Carson. Let me kind of walk people through. We know, and I mentioned this yesterday, and I double-checked before I went on, Social Security checks, SSI checks, they're going out as normal. They're not affected by the shutdown. Our VA hospitals are open for business to take care of the medical needs of our veterans, though other veteran services like applying for assistance, those kind of things aren't working. Social Security office is not working, but the checks and the benefits are going out.
That is correct. That is correct. And in fact, our local district staff, they came to work and they're answering phones as well.
Mm-hmm.
Many will be impacted, and it's a shame. It really is a shame. You know, this shutdown is going to cost us roughly $100 million per day, maybe even $150 million, some folks have projected. And it's going to jeopardize our already fragile economy. And my hope is that members of our community, Amos, will call their representatives, they'll call their senators, and demand some kind of conference that will remedy this situation.
At the same time this shutdown is going on, the Affordable Care Act began this morning. The website healthcare.gov is up. Some places people are getting through and signing up. In other places, it seems like a lot of people are trying to get on the website, and so there's glitches getting on the websites, which could be good news because I think the other side thought nobody was going to go on the websites. Are you getting reaction? Is the office here in Indianapolis getting calls about that?
They're responding to calls. We're sending them to the healthcare.gov, and we're having them call 1-800-318-2596, 1-800-318-2596, to have any problems remedied. But the issue is that so many people have visited. They've already gotten over a million hits in just a couple of hours, Amos, where the site has crashed several times.
Maybe that's why the Republicans wanted to shut it down. They knew everybody and their brother was going to try to go up today.
That's right. This is so unfortunate to impact so many federal workers, Dr. Brown, who deliver critical services to our communities each and every day. But I hope that there's a kind of righteous indignation that comes about from this. My staff told me that someone posted on Facebook that all members of Congress need to be fired. This person clearly doesn't know how to make the distinction between good teachers, bad teachers, good cops, bad cops, good politicians, bad politicians, good photographers, bad photographers, good engineers, bad engineers. We have to sift through and constantly reaffirm and reward those elected officials who are upholding their sworn duty to protect their citizens and to vote for legislation that clearly impacts communities in a positive way, and unseat those elected officials who don't do due diligence in terms of servicing their communities.
I got to ask you, you're in an office building in the House of Representatives. They have a cafeteria. Did those workers come to work, or y'all had to bag your own lunch?
Yeah, we have several cafeterias, as you know, Dr. Brown, but only one cafeteria was open, so it was pretty crowded. And a lot of those workers were furloughed, as have been some of our security and train workers. But a lot of folks still chose to come in just out of a sense of pride and a sense of duty and commitment to country.
The Washington Post is keeping a running tally of members of Congress on both sides of the aisle that said, hey, we're either not going to take the pay or the pay that we would get in this shutdown. We're going to donate it. Have you made a decision yet what you're going to do on this compensation, whether it's one day or a few days?
Well, the reality is that some folks decades ago made it constitutional for members to get paid. However, when my friends from the media ask this question, I always say, you know, we should ask that question to Republicans who voted to send the shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
It's my hope that this situation will be over soon so we can get back to serving others. And I think it's important to note, Amos, a lot of these members of Congress who are making statements about surrendering their pay, these guys are worth like $100 million. I was listed as one of the poorest members of Congress. So it's easy for Daryl Issa, who, by the way, is the protected by Viper stand back guy, who's worth over $300 million. I'm not mad at him. He can make that kind of statement. And other members of Congress who get on the House floor and say they're willing to forfeit their pay, these guys and gals are multi-millionaires, and they can do it. But Brother Andre Carson and maybe Pete Viscosky and Brother Joe Donnelly and some other folks, it's a tough proposition. And I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say I'm willing to forfeit my pay. I didn't vote for the legislation, so why should I give up my pay, Amos, and I didn't even vote for it, all to make some folks feel good who are going to hate me anyway?
239-1310, 239-1310. We're talking with Congressman Andre Carson. He's there in the nation's capital. So where do we go now? Is the House scheduled to be in session? Is everybody going home? Is everybody just standing around waiting for Speaker Boehner? Whose move is it next?
No one knows. We've been conferencing. We didn't end last night until 1:30 or 2. We had
in the morning.
In the morning, and that's kind of been the theme for the past few days. We were conferencing last night with Leader Pelosi. The Republicans are meeting right now. No one knows. It's a big game of chess, and members of Congress on both sides of the aisle are pretty fatigued. I had numerous Republicans tell me, Amos, that they're upset with how things are going, but when it comes time to vote, and I look up on the vote tally, they're not voting with the American people. They're voting with the Tea Party, which is unfortunate because they're so afraid of being primaried next year that they won't do the right thing. But again, I am urging everyone listening today, call your representative, all members of the Indiana delegation, urge them to do the right thing, and threaten them. Threaten them.
Oh no!
With your vote, and threaten to unseat them. We have to reward elected officials who do the right thing and punish those elected officials who don't do the right thing. And this is clearly the wrong thing for Americans, and especially over 10,000 Hoosiers.
Hmm. I know we got some good news yesterday. We talked to somebody that works out at Denfos at the Finance Center, and he says they got an independent pool of money because I guess they do services for other government agencies. The government agencies pay them. So they got a pot of money. So they're on duty and getting paid today.
Well, I was out there recently with our friend at the Fort Harrison Finance Center at the Emmett Bean Center, and you know a lot of people don't know that the very Finance Center in the Fort Harrison area in Indianapolis does the White House payroll.
Wait a minute, you telling me that Denfos cuts the check that says Barack H. Obama?
Absolutely, a lot of people don't know that, and. In fact, the White House has had to furlough some employees today. A lot of folks that we see regularly here on the Hill have been furloughed.
We were trying to figure out who's cooking. You know, is the first grandma cooking dinner tonight? You know, is Michelle down, the first lady down in the kitchen, trying to fix up some healthy greens?
That's hard to say. I can't answer that, but the way the president sneaks out sometimes to go to Five Guys, I can imagine he probably misses some of her cooking.
See, now, wait a minute. This could settle this. If the first lady and the first grandma, you know, would prepare like a soul food, southern cooking meal. You know, now I know John Boehner knows about some southern cooking because he's from Ohio, and that's close to the South.
That's right.
And Harry Reid, Nevada, that's kind of close to the South.
Yeah.
And then Speaker Pelosi, she can eat any kind of food.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and then you know Joe Biden eat anything.
That's right.
Maybe that's the way to cut the deal, not meet in the fancy dining room, meet in the kitchen. I know they got a little dining room in the kitchen because I saw it in the movie.
That's right.
The
butler. Well, I think you're on to something. I think if we take away the trappings of power and maybe meet at an IHOP, Amos, I don't know. But we need to settle this matter immediately because fatigue has set in, frustration has set in, anxiety has set in. Children's programs will be impacted tremendously. Single mothers are going to be impacted by this thing. Low-income families will be especially impacted. And it's time to stop. Next week, we're going to be dealing very seriously with raising our debt ceiling. We have to pay our debt. This is going to impact, once again, our rating. And so we can't go down this path. And again, I urge every listener on this phone to call members of the Indiana delegation and urge them to do the right thing.
Robert's got a quick question at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking the call. I'm not an advocate of this government shutdown. It's just a nuts thing to do. But the question I have is that I keep hearing reports on the news, and the question comes up is why do the politicians in Washington not have the same health care as the rest of us? They keep saying that they're not signing up for Obamacare, that it's going to be something else. And why is that not going on? Or is that wrong? Are they lying? They're not. That's really not what's happening.
Congressman?
Well, it needs, and thank you for your question. It needs to be made clear that federal employees are the only ones to lose their health care, Amos. We have to get into the exchange like everyone else. That's a big misperception during this whole debate. Federal, we are going to lose our insurance across the board, and we're going to have to enter the exchange in a few weeks. So I wish that certain outlets wouldn't promote this bad notion, but I'm going to have to get online and do some shopping myself. Or I may have to sit my wife down and do a comparative analysis and get on her insurance plan.
I noticed the New York Times yesterday said that the federal government had signed a deal with Blue Cross Blue Shield to do a multi-state insurance plan that was patterned after the federal plan, that was one of the requirements in the Affordable Care Act to do a multi-state thing that's patterned after the current federal health care.
I'm not familiar with that. We're looking at a few options,
right.
They're even looking at an option of treating federal employees like those small businesses where you have a pool of folks who can enter into it, so we can kind of leverage some kind of a structure where we can pick from a Cadillac plan to a Ford plan.
Maybe that's what's tying up the website, is all the Republican members of Congress are trying to get on the website and trying to get their insurance covered.
Absolutely. maybe so. I'm sure many of them in their own hearts and souls know that this is the right thing to do, but they're bound by party politics.
Michelle has a quick question for the congressman. Michelle? Michelle going once, Michelle going twice. We must have answered Michelle's question. Let me go to Jeff right quick. Hi, Jeff.
How you doing, Amos?
Fine.
And how you doing, Congressman?
Hey, good to hear from you, brother.
You keep up the good work, man. I tell you, man, you know, the Republican Party have created this Frankenstein monster called the Tea Party. And if you know anything about the story of Frankenstein, the monster gets out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Tea
mm-hmm.
Party is out of control, and they are going to be the downfall of the Republican Party as we know it. I mean, there's no room for Nelson Rockefeller. There's no room for Jack Kemp. There's no room really for Ronald Reagan.
Sure.
I mean, Ted Cruz. This guy, he needs to see a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, he's living in a parallel universe, Mr. Congressman. And what's your take on this Ted Cruz guy?
You know, Ted Cruz, he did a filibuster the other day where he even read Dr. Seuss, which to me was a complete mockery of the way things are done in this institution. And it just goes to show that he's so focused on his carry out, his duties as a U.S. senator. Now is not the time for us to sit back.
Jeff, I need to move on because I'm trying to get as many as possible to talk in the time that we have with the congressman. Let me go to Ruby at 239-1310. Hi, Ruby.
Good morning, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine.
Afternoon. I'm retired. But, you know, there ought to be a law. President Clinton should have did it when he was in office. There should be some kind of law that a small of radicals would not be able to shut down the government.
Yeah.
You got laws for everything else. and you know, it just shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican, it should not be allowed to happen. Yes, we are a free country, but we shouldn't be this free. What is that all about? Yes.
And we always talk about the story or mythology of the Constitutional Convention and Ben Franklin walking out and Mrs. Powell asking him, so Ben, what do we have, a monarchy or a republic? And he said, Mrs. Powell, we have a republic if you can keep it. So how do we keep the republic? We keep the republic by holding our elected officials accountable. In 2010, there was a movement, Amos, and you remember, to vote the bums out of Congress.
Yeah.
Well, what happened, many people voted out the so-called bums and brought in lunatics. And so we're seeing the lunacy in full effect. And what must happen, what has to happen, is for us to have a righteous indignation next year in the general election and vote these folks out and vote in some people who are truly going to represent our interests.
Let me go back to Michelle. We got her back at 239-1310. Hi, Michelle.
How you doing?
Fine.
I don't even know where to begin because I'm really shocked. But I do want to know, you know, what do they really expect us to do? For one, I am a veteran, and I'm service-connected, and that's basically my only income. You're welcome. But I'm like, you know, what are we supposed to do? And my comment is, I really think that we need to round them up, and they need to be locked up for neglect because they are out of order. I didn't vote them all in, but, you know, I mean, right now I don't think it's a point where we need to point fingers. We need to go and get them. Mm-hmm. They need to be locked up and jacked up and don't even deal with their families because, you know, they got families that, you guys put in. You know, you want to bring in their uncles, their nephews. All of them need to be released. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand, just like the lady said before, how we can be such a free country and here we are being held hostage. That's bull.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think I don't know, Sister Michelle, if we could necessarily lock them up, but we can certainly hold them accountable and make an example out of them next year. And even I think if we could get movements and systems together where we could have mass phone calls flooding their offices, flooding their websites, letting them know that this is utterly unacceptable, showing up the same way that the lunatics showed up to our meetings, Amos, and the reason why I have to have security when I'm in Indianapolis because of the death threats that I receive for standing up for health care, we have to show up in a peaceful way, unlike them, and let them know our concerns and let them know how we oppose this and share the stories like Michelle, being a vet, and how she'll be impacted by this.
I appreciate it, Michelle. Thank you for your service as well. Congressman, I can't use the words on the cover of this morning's New York Daily News tabloid newspaper. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it? Have you seen the cover?
I've yet to see. I've read about 10 publications this morning, but I've yet to see that one.
Y'all got to see the cover. Let me see now, because it's not a cuss word, but it violates the sense of decency. It's one of those decency words that we can't say here on AM 1310 The Light. But it's a picture of Speaker Boehner sitting in the Lincoln's chair in the Lincoln Memorial.
Oh yeah.
His hands are dirty. Yeah. Can't tell you why they're dirty.
Yeah.
And the headline is a parody of that series on Netflix called House of Cards. That's as far as I can go.
I saw that on MSNBC. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, and,
That is probably one of the most powerful newspaper front pages I have ever seen. That goes down with a classic that newspaper did, Ford to New York City Drop Dead.
That's
back
it.
In the 70s. That is I'm sure that's the buzz in Washington on Capitol Hill. That is cold.
Well, House of Cards, and I know you've seen it. I had dinner with Steny Hoyer the other night, and Kevin Spacey met with him to consult on this. And it's one of the best television shows out there, but I digress. But I think it's an accurate portrayal of the kind of Machiavellianism, of the kind of thirst for power that we're seeing. It seems to me that someone like Speaker Boehner, who's actually not a bad person personally, but he may be too obsessed with holding a speakership than using the carrot and stick method that's necessary to keep that Tea Party caucus in check. That could never happen under a Steny Hoyer. Could certainly never happen under a Nancy Pelosi in our caucus. I'm disappointed that he has not exhibited the kind of steel necessary in dealing with members of Congress.
And if y'all want to see the cover that I cannot say on this radio station, go to nydailynews.com, nydailynews.com, or do a Google search of NY Daily News front page cover. Trust me, you'll see it. It's been shown on a lot of websites. I can't do it because I got to stay within where we shine the light through the word and the music. Let me go to Rose. But it's off the hook. Let me go to Rose right quick. Will be our last caller with Congressman Carson. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Amos. How are you?
Fine.
Let me say this. Do they get paid since this shutdown, or are they still getting paid for the time they're sitting back, coach, taking everybody's pay? And that's another thing. I know the media can only say so many things. I was listening to the TV Sunday, and the commentator, he said what most of us think. They make too much money. They can raise their pay when they get ready, and they should be limited to put in a position where the public or to have a position where others can vote for their pay. And another thing is, how come they are able to do that when we've got laws that require certain things to be done at a certain time? When did it change that you have a set time to take care of your business? And why don't they remove the unlimited on their time Why don't they set a time just like the president? Reduce the time that each person can be in there. They don't get it so entrenched and friendly that they can control what they want to and not cooperate with what do their job.
Rose is asking what Ronald Reagan was asking for when he was president, term limits on members of Congress. I think he was the first one that brought that up. Rose, you hanging with Ronald Reagan on this one.
Well, I listened to all of it, and I'm so disgusted that there's so much mess about it. You know, they already had the Affordable Care.
Yep.
All of a sudden, it's Obamacare. They're showing disrespect for him and trying to make him look bad.
Yeah.
And I know that basically you can't say it, but I'm going to say it. The white women sitting up there with all this long hair down to their behind and complaining, okay, they can't say Affordable Care. They said call it Obamacare.
Mm.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it, Rose. We'll check in with you later in the week to see how the shutdown is going, because I just found out that our service academies, Navy can't play football, Army can't play, Air Force can't play, which probably means Indiana University is trying to figure out, hey, can we reschedule? If Indiana had been playing Navy now, they would have gotten the win.
Well, you know, Dr. Brown, we do have term limits. We do have term limits. It's a thing called elections.
Right.
And when we show up, we can have elections. You know, there are different schools of thought about term limits, and I think the term limits conversation has a great context. When you have shorter terms, especially for members of Congress, mm-hmm. I think what you'll see is a rise in corruption. Because if you have maybe 8 years cap for a member of Congress, what has been studied from local legislators is that those folks spend the last few years of their term trying to hook themselves up for the next step, i.e. lobbying or small business venture. But when you have elections serve as the term limit, right. You have greater levels of accountability at play, and the community and constituents can choose when that person can continue to serve or when their time is up.
He's Congressman Andre Carson. He's there in the midst of the shutdown, probably eating a sandwich and trying to figure out, you know, where is he going to get his health care from?
Yes. Well, I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to get a sandwich next, because I haven't eaten breakfast, and I think I'm going to go on the exchange, or at least talk to my wife and about that that school insurance.
There's no Mickey D's on Capitol Hill?
There's one a few blocks up, but you know, I'm just in a place where I probably shouldn't have Mickey D's. I probably should have a salad, but I'm just so frustrated and angry right now, Dr. Brown, that I really can't even eat like I need to, because I want us to really get away from our emotionalism,
mm-hmm.
come up with movements so we can really focus on 2014 and the local elections and local congressional elections, keep Biskoski in office. Keep Brother Carson in office, vote the other folks out who say one thing in our faces, but when they get to the voting floor, they vote against you and my interests.
What you ought to probably do is call Subway to deliver, then stand out there on Constitution Avenue when the Subway guy comes along. You get the sandwich so he doesn't have to go through the security. And see, then you get a nice, you know, healthy meal, because you got to eat during the middle of a shutdown.
Absolutely. And if I can say this, I just want to thank our staff, the district staff on 300 Fall Creek and the one in D.C., for taking the time out. Unpaid, Amos.
Unpaid.
We're going to fight to get them back pay. When we go to conference, we're going to fight hard to get them back pay. They still showed up and came to work anyway.
All right. Appreciate it, Congressman Andre Carson.